68 of Good Luck High Five.
That's right. You're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic the Gathering. Whether you are super excited for Crimson Vow coming up, or maybe you're raring to go at Eternal Weekend in just a couple of weeks, we are here for you.
I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And we don't have heat in our studio today.
No, we don't.
So we are drinking cozy cups of tea.
Oh, thank goodness.
I mean,
I'm mostly touching my cozy cup of
Look,
tea.
If I didn't have this cup of tea, my hands would be two ice blocks and I'd just slam them on the desk and just chunks of ice would fly off everywhere.
Okay, one. Did you ever feel like, you know when it, like cool science people would come to your school and they would do the liquid nitrogen experiments where they would like dip something in and then
Look
smash
it. It's broken now. Yeah.
Did you ever worry that like
they were going to dip a human hand?
That you were like, is there ever going to be an accident in my life where I accidentally put my hand in liquid nitrogen and then my hand shatters off? Did you ever worry that?
No, but right? I used to worry that I would shrink if I went in the dryer because my mom said clothes shrink if they go in there. So I thought I would shrink the kids.
Yeah, you would shrink if you went in the dryer.
So that was a fear I had.
I feel like mine is more reasonable. Like, think.
No, it is.
Think about it.
Yours could actually happen.
Exactly. I went around being terrified that, like, at some point in my life, I would have a bad encounter with liquid nitrogen.
I mean, there's still time.
Yeah.
Don't lose that fear.
You're right. Thanks, Maria.
Good luck, high five. Extending fears from childhood into adulthood since 2012.
My other point was going to be, do you remember working in offices when it would be so cold? And like literally your fingers would be stiff as you type on a keyboard. Like,
I had special gloves that I ordered from the internet that you plug them into USB and they heated your hands so that you could type with them on.
Oh my God.
Definitely not safe. Those gloves were sure to burst into flames at any moment.
Or like give you burns on your hands. Yeah. That was a bad.
Very bad invention.
But also, genius.
Hello, if you run an office and just please turn up your ding dang heat. Yeah.
If you have the power to turn up the heat in your office wherever
please
you are, just do it.
Well, okay. Today's show, besides being little icicles, we're going to talk to you all about Crimson Vow because guess what? Chicken Butt previews have started, including our preview card, which got previewed yesterday on the Upkeep, if you haven't seen it yet. It's a really cool card. So we're going to talk about the new cards that dropped. We're going to talk about the new mechanics, returning mechanics that we're going to see in this set. And there's some wild stuff going on. Some really cool cards have been previewed already.
Yeah, it's awesome. But before we get to any of that, we're also going to talk about the first chapter of Crimson Vow story.
Yes.
Which I read for you.
I'm so excited because we just heard the end of Midnight Hunt story last week.
Okay, but before we can get to any of that, we have some people to thank. First and foremost amongst them are you, the listeners of this show.
Yay. Thank you, everybody who supports us, our backers over on patreon.com/glhfmagic. Please consider becoming a backer before next episode. We'll say your name on the air. You'll have our undying gratitude, access to our Superfly Discord channel to hang out with cool people, and you'll get cool prizes shipped to you based on the various tiers that you can donate at. And we're so appreciative.
This week, a special thank you goes out to Diaper 911.
Oh my God, why did you say that while I was taking a sip of my I almost spit it all over this audio board.
Because that is the name of our new patron this week. I can't not say it.
Diaper 911.
Okay. Thank you so much to Diaper 911.
Like, you have the power to make us say something stupid. We've now.
Yes, absolutely.
We had sock.
We'll not say. We had. We'll not say dirty. Something dirty. Or we will not say swears, but. Because this is a show for everybody.
But we will say Diaper 911.
Well, we will say Diaper 911.
Now, like, five times.
So, a bunch. Thank you so much, especially.
Oh my God. Yes. Thank you so much. Become a patron today. Thank you to Card Kingdom as well for being our incredible sponsor. Head to cardkingdom.com/GLHF for all your magical needs.
Yes. They may not be able to solve your Diaper 911 crisis, but they can solve all of your magic needs at the drop of a hat, at the snap of a finger.
Have you ever tried to diaper a baby in a discarded booster pack wrappers?
I really hope not. I'm just going to go out and say I really hope not.
The Good Luck High Five Diaper Baby Challenge issued on this episode.
No, 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 not happening.
Oh, that baby would be so mad.
It would
have a toasty bum.
Be bad.
Yeah, Car Kingdom's so cool. They've got great shipping. They've got everything that you need for your magical life. They have excellent customer service. And you can pre-order Crimson Vow on their website right now.
Yes.
Say good luck, high five, they'll give you a token or a sticker in your order because that's just the kind of people they are.
It is time for a brand new Scryfall random segment where we each get to guess a very random card that Scryfall gives
us. All right, Megan, are you ready for this random card?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I'm going to show you the art crop and then I'm going to tell you the name of the card. You're going to tell me what it does.
Okay.
There's a look at the art.
Oh, great.
This art is, please describe it.
Okay, this art is like, it's like an old school colored pencil drawing of two Renaissance men, one of whom is like really going nuts with his swords.
Yeah, these look like very strapping gentlemen in armor in a fancy castle.
Yes.
The name of this card is Veteran's Voice. What does it do?
Okay, this is a white card.
Mm-hmm.
This white card says... Wow, veteran voice. Okay.
I can't get over this guy's mustache.
Yeah, what is this guy in the back has a great mustache.
What's the mustache plus pointy beard combo called? There's got to be a name for that facial hair.
I don't know. It is, right? Yeah.
But I can't think of it.
Is it?
Anyway, he's wearing it.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know.
What's the Dick Van Dyke?
I don't know. Is it just called the Van Dyke, though?
Oh. Because it's probably not about Dick Van Dyke.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
Nope, that's okay. I think I interrupted me. Okay, it is a white card. I am going to say it is two and a white. Target creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn.
Oof.
And first strike, because this card looks old, but it would be overcosted and not wildly
that
powerful.
Is a good guess. That's a good guess. It is red.
Whoa.
This card is red for a single red enchant creature. I'm going to read the Oracle text version of this.
I was so
well, maybe
wrong.
I won't. Zero, colon, tap enchanted creature to give any other target creature +2/+1 until end of turn.
I was right about the boost.
You were right about the boost.
This is wild.
Yeah. The flavor text is, good soldiers rely first upon their training, then upon their instincts. King Darien of Gjeldor.
Yeah. It's from Alliances.
Wow.
That's an old card.
That art, though, truly magical.
Great.
Thank
great
you, Scryfall art. Randomizer.
Okay, here we go.
By the way, Scryfall has a Patreon, everybody.
Yeah.
So if you want to support them for being the awesome magic search engine they are, you can support them on patreon.com/Scryfall. We are supporters on Patreon.
Let me know if you know this card from its art.
Ooh, okay.
Because it is not new, but it is iconic.
Okay, this Celestia card.
Okay.
That's what I want to say. Green, white. way you said okay.
Oh, wait,
makes
do you want me to tell you the name?
What's the name?
Door of Destinies.
Door of Destinies. Gosh,
yeah.
I feel like I do.
Do you want to describe the art to everyone?
The art looks like a beautiful door on a hobbit house if hobbits were human sized.
Yes.
And it's glowing. It's radiating outwards in a beautiful forest.
Yeah.
Door of Destinies. Yeah, I do recall this name. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I couldn't tell you what it does. But if I had to guess, it's Celestia. It costs two green, green, white, white.
Love it.
And you create 3/3/3 centaur tokens.
Oh.
It's definitely not what it is. But
I like it.
That's what I would guess.
Yeah. This art looks very Celestia. But
it
is colorless.
You're right.
Some of you may know this card. 4 colorless mana. As Door of Destinies enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Whenever you cast a spell of the chosen type, put a charge counter on Door of Destinies. Creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+1 for each charge counter on Door of Destinies.
So when was this most recently printed for us?
Commander 2017.
Okay. So
and then Magic 2014.
That's when we would have played it at Rare. Wow. Guessing an artifact.
It's
a little tough.
Hard.
But I guess it was a door, so maybe that could have been a clue.
Are doors colorless?
Are doors always colorless in Magic? That's
a
good question.
I just thought we were talking about in life. Oh. Are doors always colorless?
I mean, there's been a lot of door cards printed.
Yeah.
I can think of some that have been Yeah, like I wish Creature Type Door.
It's originally from Morning Tide.
Morning Tide, okay. Yeah, because Cellar Door is a card I recall.
Yep, here it is.
That's an artifact. Colorless. All right, hypothesis confirmed.
Door to Nothingness is 5 colorless.
Wow. Secret Door is blue, though.
Secret Door.
That one, that's remember that true. One? But that's a wall. I don't know.
Not yeah, that's an artifact creature wall.
I'll give it.
Whereas the three artifact only, like the three straight up doors
are all artifacts. Creature type.
The door. Straight up doors.
Look, wizards, don't be cowards. You've printed creature type wall. Print creature type door.
That's right. This wall, this secret door shouldn't have to be a wall because it's not.
It's not.
Although it is a secret door. So it is telling you it's a wall.
Maybe it should be a flip card on the back is I'm actually a door.
Front wall, back door.
Walls in the front, doors in the back. Am I right? But also in Crimson Vow, there's a card, a preview card that on the front side is a human and on the back side is a vampire.
Yeah, that's very true.
Which is pretty cool. That's very, very nice flavor. I like that. I saw somebody question, they're like, wait, no, the front side's not a vampire. And I'm like, that's the whole deal. Because
they're pretending that they're not.
And then they're going to be a vampire. Yeah. Hello. Anyway, we'll talk more about those. When we talk about the cards that have been previewed for the set, this has been The Randomizer. All right, everybody, let's talk about Crimson Vow mechanics.
Yes.
So this past Thursday, Wizards released Crimson Vow with a flare. They had a video that was on twitch.tv/magic that was exceedingly well done that started off with clips from Nosferatu with like new captions that they had put into them.
Delightful.
I just need to call that out because
I love Nosferatu.
It was so well done, everybody. Like, congratulations, whoever did that video for Wizards, because it was funny. It was really, really well made. And then, of course, the production value of these preview videos has just been going up and up and up with Becca Scott and Deborah Ann Wall from True Blood. It was gorgeous. It was very, very, very pretty. So I just want to give kudos to that production company, whoever they are, and everybody from Wizards who worked on that event. Anyway, let's talk about the new mechanics and returning mechanics from Crimson Vow.
I was going to say, look at my tiny teaspoon.
Did you bring that in specifically?
Yeah.
A spoon for tea.
It's in my I have my little like travel kit of silverware. And it has like a big spoon.
Do you always have it?
A tiny spoon. Yeah. A little fork, a big fork, chopsticks, a straw, and a napkin.
Wow.
Anyways.
Travel silverware. Don't leave home without it.
It's nice. And then you like if you use stuff and you don't have a chance to wash it, you wrap it up in the napkin. It's like a cloth napkin. It up in there and you can just tuck it back in the pouch.
Oh, that's so cute.
Anyways, this has been your 30 seconds of what's in Megan's bag.
I have this Minnesota mug. I just want to show this off.
It's very nice.
Anyway, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so mechanics. First up is training.
I almost ate the tea bag there. Training.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about a card with training on it. Cloaked Cadet is one I'm seeing right here. For 4 and a green, the guy looks like he's wearing a porcupine cloak.
Yes, or just all of the reeds from the same like place where he's standing. Like, oh, he's like in
that
a
makes
swamp
actual
he,
sense.
So he's hiding.
Yeah. This is a 2/4 human ranger.
Yep.
At uncommon, has training. Whenever this creature attacks with another creature with greater power, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature.
Yeah.
And since it's an uncommon, he also has additional text. Whenever one or more +1/+1 counters are put on one or more humans you control, draw a card. Oh, this ability triggers only once each turn.
That's pretty nice.
That is, I like that card.
So you get to draw a card when you train.
That's solid.
I love drawing cards, so and I'm a big fan.
Training, a lot of people have pointed out, is like mentor in reverse.
Yes. So it's in like, right, the scope of like mechanics that put counters on creatures.
Yes.
And it's just a new way to do that, which I think is, and it's cute because it's right, like all of the humans are getting together and figuring out
how to fight the,
how to fight everybody. And so they're all in training. And when you fight with someone better than you, then you get better.
All right. I love it. Cloak Cadet. That's a solid card.
When you read that big chunk of training text, it kind of stinks. Like, it is kind of a lot with a lot of directional words
in
it.
Yes, it is slightly confusing.
I don't know, though, that they could have done it better.
Whenever this creature attacks with another creature with greater power, put a +1/+1 counter on
this creature.
Like, obviously, yeah. They probably couldn't have because there are professionals who do this as opposed to
they're
just
professional
us
word
at it.
Shorteners.
Yes. Right? That's like my only thing about it is that I understand also if you're like new to the game, I feel like reading that big chunk of text, you'd maybe be like, what?
I mean, I would say it's not even the most egregious offender of that syndrome that's going to happen in this segment. But yeah, that is training. I'm speaking of Cleave. That's the one I'm talking about.
Cleave text says, you may cast this spell for its cleave cost. If you do, remove the words in square brackets.
Okay, so that means nothing to me without seeing what is on the card, first of all.
Yeah.
So for an example, we have Lunar Rejection, which is one and a blue for an instant uncommon. The cleave cost is 3 and a blue, so more expensive.
Yeah.
Which it always is, I think, anyway, so far. It says return target creature to its owner's hand, draw a card. And that is the cleave cost.
Yeah.
And if you cast it normally for 1 and a blue, it says return target wolf or werewolf creature to its owner's hand, draw a card.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the cleave just removes some restriction.
Yep.
How do you feel about this?
You know, as we said on the upkeep, it is a little like, it is a little kicker.
Yeah.
It is a little kicker-ish.
It is literally exactly kicker.
I mean, it's not exactly kicker.
Why not?
Because it's formatted differently.
Okay, so all I'm saying is that this is just another way to present kicker.
I guess so, right? It's not exactly the same because
we're
kicker. You always get like the base thing,
benefit, yeah.
And then you get a bonus
that
for
is
kicking
true.
It. And this is more like they're framing it the other way around.
Yeah,
is like you have a thing. You have restrictions when you cast it. Or you can shed those restrictions.
I think it's cool because it's clever. Let me say that.
It's clever.
The way they had to format this within the text box with the brackets and all that kind of stuff. I was like, oh, look at you being so clever that you can make it two things inside of one.
Yeah.
And like still make like sense to read it.
Yes, exactly. Right. Like formatting these, I do not envy whoever formatted these because...
No way.
Another example is Path of Peril.
Okay.
1 black for a sorcery. Destroy all creatures with mana value 2 or less. Its cleave cost is 4 white black and just reads destroy all creatures.
Okay. Yeah. And so we're also adding another color restriction to the cleave cost in this case.
Yes.
Which is interesting for limited.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting. You could have this black card in a black green deck.
Yeah, for sure. And you're just like, I don't care. I'm just literally never going to be cast for cleave. That's fine. It'll be an early board wipe. Yeah. I think it's very cool. And it's just slightly confusing, but that's okay. We'll get through it together, everybody. Up next, we have Exploit, which is a returning mechanic from Khans of Tarkir.
Yes. So this was on not a ton of cards in Khans.
No, we went back and looked, and it was honestly like...
It must have been kind of a Sultai mechanic, but it's only on stuff that's blue-black.
Yeah.
So Dragons of Tarkir is what it was.
Oh, sorry.
That
Dragons
makes more
of,
sense,
of
right?
Tarkir.
So it was like in the small set anyways.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Which is why there's not many cards on it. It's all blue and black in that instance.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So welcome back, Exploit, which has you when this creature enters the battlefield, you may sacrifice a creature and you get a bonus for doing that.
Yeah. A couple that we have seen so far, there's Fel Stinger, which is 2 and a black for a 3/2 death touch exploit. When Fel Stinger exploits a creature, target player draws 2 cards and loses 2 life.
Wow.
Which is fun.
That is a good card.
Yeah.
That's a 3/2 for 3 mana death touch like base level.
Yeah.
Plus
pretty
the exploit
solid.
Trigger, you just draw 2 cards? Excuse me, can I just for a second say, in limited, I'm used to paying 3 mana just for the exploit thing.
Yeah.
Only for draw 2 cards, lose 2 life.
That's true.
Sometimes I pay 4 for that.
Yeah.
You know?
And you could just, right, there's nothing in exploit that says it has to be another creature.
Yeah.
It could just, if you wanted the cards more than you wanted this 3/2 death touch, just... That's shady, but whatever, you do you.
That's shady.
Right, you can just exploit this right away. I'm just looking at this art. Early contender for Grossest.
It's disturbing.
It is a horse-sized scorpion. We know because it's eating a horse. Okay.
Ugh. Do you ever look at pictures of bugs from dinosaur times?
No, absolutely not.
Don't. You'll be very terrified because they were enormous, especially the human-sized centipedes that were real.
No.
Because there was more oxygen in the atmosphere.
Well, thank goodness we are solving that.
Thank goodness the meteor did its dirty, dark work that we needed it to do to rid us of those monsters. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is exploit here in this set.
Ooh, and finally, there are blood tokens.
Blood tokens.
Blood.
So R&D said, you know, we've been experimenting with artifact tokens that do something in a set. Like we've had food, we had clue tokens. Now we have blood tokens.
Yeah.
Which remind us a little bit of clues.
These are, as you said, artifact tokens. They say one tap, discard a card, sacrifice this artifact. Draw a card.
Okay. I think it's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. I love the art on the one that we've seen so far. It's like it has like blood rose petals on like behind it, and it's on some black fabric, and it's a little decorative vial of blood that is obviously meant to be worn.
Just sometimes you just take a shot of blood, you know? Mm-hmm. You just need that.
Absolutely.
And then you get to rummage.
Yeah. And as we've seen in the past with some other creatures, these can have an additional effect or bonus depending on what you've got on the battlefield. For instance, Gluttonous Guest says 2 and a black, 1/4. When Gluttonous Guest enters the battlefield, create a blood token. Whenever you sacrifice a blood token, you gain 1 life.
Great.
Yeah.
And thank you to Twitter follower who pointed out she does have bangs. So yeah. Gluttonous Guest does activate from fangs out, bangs out.
She has great bangs also. Like,
yeah, those are excellent bangs.
If they looked this good.
Oh my gosh.
No one's bangs look this good unless.
it just doesn't happen.
Unless you're a vampire and you have literally all the time in eternity.
You know, I've tried bangs so many times. Every time, huge mistake.
I think, knock on wood, Maria, I think I have finally moved past the point where.
When you're going to try bangs.
When I'm going to, like, right? I feel like it has now happened enough times and I've looked back at enough photos and just been like, woof, that I don't. Every once in a while when I feel the impulse, I can very quickly squash it.
Yeah. And, you know,
no.
The impulse will crop up. It's not like we can't.
It happens.
It's just going to happen to us.
I did do like some light, you know, like feathering bangs. But
yeah, I have these. Fine. What are they called? Framing bangs? Curtain bangs, I think. Anyway, I don't count them as true bangs, though. Not. They wouldn't count for fangs out, bangs out. Just saying.
No, they wouldn't.
That's, yeah.
And that should be how we count.
Thank you. We also have some returning mechanics from Midnight Hunt, which is Daybound, Nightbound, and Disturb will be back.
Yes, of course, because you got to get those ghosties in there
and
those werewolves.
There's some super cool Disturb cards in this set that turn into enchantments, auras.
Yeah, that's right.
Which I think I'm a fan of auras. You all know this. I know this. Makes me very, very stoked for these cool new Disturb auras.
Yeah, they are very cool. Okay. For example, there's Kindly Ancestor. This is 2 and a white for a 2/3 spirit with a lifelink. It has Disturb for 1 and a white.
It's already a good card.
Yep. For Ancestor's Embrace, which says enchant creature. Enchanted creature has a lifelink. If Ancestor's Embrace would be put into a graveyard from anywhere, exile it instead.
I love it. So it's giving the cool bonus that the front side had on the back
side. Yes. And I like that it iterates on what the first time around in Midnight Hunt, we had it and it's just like, oh, it's just humans that become ghosties.
Yes.
But now it's like, oh, but what if those ghosties?
Yes.
Then become like a benefit extra for humans.
Extra
ghosty.
They were going to call this mechanic extra ghosty, but then they just went back on it after a while.
Extra ghost.
Extra ghost. Or excuse me, they were going to call it Mega Disturb. That's a nod to Megamorph.
Ugh.
Remember those days?
God bless Megamorph. Yeah. You know what?
I mean, that's what it was. It was a morph mega sized.
Megamorphed. Yes.
It did what it said on the tin.
We have some cool, you know, people that we have seen in the past, like Runo Stromkirk, who is one of the vampire bloodline founders, the Stromkirks.
Oh, yes. So there's I learned this from Storytime.
Oh yeah.
That there was different vampire bloodlines on Innistrad. So like different houses.
Yeah.
Like Game of Thrones style. So the Stormkirks are one bloodline, the Voldarns are another bloodline. Mm-hmm.
The Falkenraths.
Falkenraths are a bloodline. Who's the last one?
There's more. Because like I think
Markovs is that one?
The Markovs are one, yes.
It's just really cool.
Oh, it is awesome. So we have Runo Stromkirk, one blue black for a 1/4 flying. When he enters the battlefield, put up to one target creature card from your graveyard on top of your library.
Okay.
At the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top card of your library. You may reveal that card. If a creature card with mana value 6 or greater is revealed this way, transform Runo Stromkirk into Krothus, Lord of the Deep.
He becomes a Kraken?
Yeah, a Kraken horror. 3/5 flying. Whenever Krothus, Lord of the Deep attacks, create a tapped and attacking token that's a copy of another target attacking creature. If that creature is a Kraken, Leviathan, Octopus, or Serpent, create two of those tokens instead.
First of all, can I just say I was right about Bat?
About Bat?
There you go. That's Bat right there. Last week I predicted Bat. That card has Bat.
Wait, Runo become Bat.
Yes!
Except he become Kraken.
But he does have flying.
He does have flying. Is a Kraken just a bat of the ocean?
This has got to be the only Kraken in Magic that is flying.
Yeah.
Absurd. That's weird. But I'm only going to give it to him because he's a vampire. Yeah,
and he's a big legendary also. Big legendary spookum.
Yeah, and speaking of Bat and the card we were talking about just a little bit earlier, about the human who turned vamp.
Oh, yeah. Innocent Traveler.
Innocent Traveler, 2BB for a 1/3 human, but don't believe everything.
Yeah, it says, at the beginning of your upkeep, any opponent may sacrifice a creature. If no one does, transform Innocent Traveler.
And the flavor text says, aren't you going to let me in?
Malicious Invader. is a 3/3 vamp with flying. It gets +2/+0 as long as an opponent controls a human.
Flavor text, aren't you going to offer me a drink?
Great. Great stuff.
Yes, that card has Bat. If I've ever seen Bat before, that is Bat right there.
All right.
High five myself.
I feel like you're retconning Bat to mean
It transformed into Bat.
No, it go from human, like vamp, pretending to be human with his little glamour on to being vamp.
Yeah, but
not
I mean,
vamp to Bat.
It gets flying. Well, you know.
All right. All right.
I'll give myself 1/3 of a point for Bat.
Okay.
How about that?
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Great. 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 Let's talk about our preview card.
Ooh, yes. Stencia Uprising.
Yeah. We previewed this on the upkeep if you missed it. That's our news show. Go listen to that every week if you don't.
I thought you said it's our new show, and I was like, Maria, we've been doing it for a long ass time.
Our new show. We've done more than we've done more than 100 episodes of the upkeep.
Yes, way more than that.
But I can't remember how many exactly, but yeah, it's our new show every Monday.
Stencia Uprising, 2RR for an enchantment. At the beginning of your end step, create a 1/1 red human creature token. Then if you control exactly 13 permanents, you may sacrifice Stencia Uprising. When you do, it deals 7 damage to any target.
I like this card.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's good. It's hard for an enchantment at 4 mana to be good, but I think you get the benefit of it.
Yeah. 7 damage is a lot of damage to any target.
Any target.
So also your opponent is like, I can't go down to 7.
No, you're
because
dead.
Like, what if I somehow, or like how, and they just end up with 13 permanents. Like,
yeah.
Then you're dead.
You're dead. I like it. You get a human. Yeah.
Every turn.
Every turn.
That it's not
of your turn.
You know.
Every turn of your turn, mm-hmm. all of your end steps, let's say it like it's on the card, you get a 1/1, which is great. And then the bonus of dealing 7 straight to face is where I think this is normally going to go. Mm-hmm. And you get the cool bonus of the 13 thing, which is a nice little Easter egg they put in a bunch of Innistrad cards, which I think is pretty cool.
It's very fun.
Art by Dan Scott here, evocative of Wicker Man. Know the bees is what this is giving me, the energy I'm getting here.
Yeah.
I think this card is good.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
I play it.
I'm playing it. Drafting it, playing it. Stencia Uprising. There you go.
Heck yes.
So what other cards have caught your eye, Megan?
Okay. I mean, we have to talk about our big slug buddy.
Yeah, we do.
Big slug friend, Toxril the Corrosive. 5BB for a legendary creature, Slug Horror.
Nice.
So 7/7. At the beginning of each end step, put a slime counter on each creature you don't control. Creatures you don't control get -1/-1 for each slime counter on them. Whenever a creature you don't control with a slime counter on it dies, create a 1/1 black slug creature token.
Sick.
Blue black, sacrifices slug, draw a card.
This slug does it all.
Yeah, Toxtrel does it all. Toxtrel is here to slime and then here to clean up. I mean, because that's what he's doing.
I hope this card's in standard and two players are playing it in a mirror and then the commentator says, "Well, this is a real slugfest."
No.
That's what I hope happens.
Well, okay.
It's a mythic. Yeah. I love the slug. The slug is great.
Yeah, real gross looking.
I love the slime counters. That's a lot of counters you might have to deal with. A lot honestly, of like I'm like thinking about it, I'm like, what if somebody's playing it like versus a token strategy? Like,
it is also a little messy. I can't believe that they have
each creature you don't control. Imagine this in multiplayer.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I guess it's a slime counter and not a -1/-1 counter, but it still is gonna be not fun.
No. Not fun.
To navigate +1/+1 counters from training and then Toxtrel slime.
Oh, that is a good point. Yeah.
And like, it'll be fine, but.
The other card that people have been buzzing about that's been recently previewed is Uvenwald Oddity.
Yeah.
For 2GG for a 4/4 beast with trample and haste.
Yeah.
5GG, transform it into Uvenwald Behemoth.
Very gross.
Yikes. It's an 8/8 with trample and haste. Other creatures you control get +1/+1 and have trample and haste.
That's like 4/4 trample haste for 4 is solid.
Questing beast, everybody.
Yeah. Yep. He on ground. He dragon on ground.
I mean, like,
gold span on ground.
What do you like? A ground span dragon, if you will. Don't call it that.
No, we're calling it ground span dragon.
What would you rather have? Mm-hmm. Would you press this button? Uvenwald Oddity, or would you rather have the old friend?
Questing Beast?
Questing Beast.
In standard?
Yep.
Oh, Oddity all the way.
Oh.
To play against. Because I'm thinking about playing against it, Maria. Yeah.
I was like, I think Questing Beast is still better. Oh, that's
Questing Beast is better, which is why I Vigilance would prefer Death this. Touch.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
The can't be blocked by creatures with power two or less.
Yeah.
Okay. Which I guess trample does a little bit.
Trample. But, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, I will take a slightly powered down Questing Beast any day because some people might say Questing Beast was too good.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would be one of those people, but.
There's also a buddy that harkens back to early Innistrad in Vile Spawn Spider.
Callback.
Green and a blue for a 2/3 spider with reach at the beginning of your upkeep. Mill a card. 2GG, tap, sacrifice Vile Spawn Spider. Put a 1/1 green insect creature token for each creature card in your graveyard. Activate only as a sorcery.
It's like spider spawning. It's a
spider spawning. Except it just make insect instead of spider, but.
Oh, that's
still
cute.
Fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Spider spawning, one of the most beloved cards of Innistrad limited players of all time. I want to just talk about the fact that we have a new Sorin, and I just need to talk about him.
Okay, Maria, your vamp friend be here.
He's here. So I obviously love Sorin. I love my vampires deck, and Sorin was a big part of that. Where the heck is he? Trying to find him here on Scryfall. So the previous Sorin was so great. It was such a powerful planeswalker. First of all, it was 3 mana. And then it let you put vamps from your hand onto the battlefield. Mm-hmm. It let you gain life, do all sorts of shenanigans. So I was very hopeful. Here's the new Sorin. Sorin the Mirthless. 2BB. 4 loyalty. +1. Look at the top card of your library. You may reveal that card and put it into your hand. If you do, you lose life equal to mana value.
Yeah.
-2. Create a 2/3 black vampire creature token with flying and lifelink.
Ooh.
-7. Sorin the Mirthless deals 13 damage to any target. You gain 13 life.
Wow.
Pretty cool, Sorin.
Yeah.
Is he as cool as my 3 mana Sorin? No, I don't think so. But I still do like this Sorin.
Yeah, I agree.
-2 is great. You get a vampire Nighthawk, kind of. Mm-hmm. And then you can draw cards, which Sorin has, I mean, like, that's a little unusual for a card being able to do, but you have the life loss kind of vampire deal in there.
It also harkens back to 6 mana Sorin from back in the day.
Yes, that's true. That's true. And then the -7 is pretty dope, and we have the 13 reference again in there.
It's great how broody he is. Yeah, he's just really...
He's so sad.
He's having such a broody
such
time.
Such a day. I mean, okay, we're going to talk about in the story about why Sorin is so sad.
Yes.
But, I mean, wouldn't you be sad? Hello? Megan's giving a call from Scam Likely.
Aren't we all? Always. All the time.
Speaking of creatures who are back, Thalia, guardian of Thraben, has returned.
Yes. One and a white for a 2/1, obviously, legendary creature, human soldier, first strike, non-creature spells cost one more to cast. Iconic Thalia.
Iconic.
Been played in many formats.
She back.
Yeah, she back. I love this art of her. I think that it's great. This one in front of, like, the classic
she
one in front
of the window.
She just looks
like she's been through it, you know?
The Eternal Night one also. Yeah.
Thalia, welcome to Standard again.
You should be, yeah, are you excited about this? This seems like your jam.
100%. Slow down the control player. Try and cast your Auron's Epiphany when you want to. Spoiler alert, you won't be able to.
Well, I mean, I waited. As we said, Auron's Epiphany is not a problem because it's a 7-mana card. Anyways.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm super, super excited for Thalia.
Yeah. We've also seen Olivia, Crimson Bride.
So we're having a wedding here in Crimson Vow. Yes, who's the bride? Are. Here she is.
4 black-red for a legendary creature, Vampire Noble, a 3/4 flying haste. Mm. Whenever Olivia, Crimson Bride attacks, return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield, tapped and attacking. It gains when you don't control a legendary vampire, exile this creature.
Oh, interesting.
So you get it as long as Olivia's around.
Well, she's very expensive.
Yes, that's true.
I will say that. I mean, she looks great for her wedding day. Great dress. Weird human hands as a veil. I mean,
great.
Call Vogue.
It's great. It looks good. But she looks good.
I don't think that's like a standard situation, but she's a really cool card.
Yeah, she is.
She's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Have you seen the new Chandra, Megan? Speaking of cool gowns to wear. Oh my God. Chandra dressed to kill.
Where she at?
Maybe
where?
It was just her art that was previewed.
Oh, you know what?
Card because she, it might've just been the art from it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Wearing a beautiful ball gown with flaming sleeves.
Yes. Because you know what? If you're going to crash a wedding, mm-hmm, you should do it in style.
I agree.
It's only polite.
You know, they haven't yet previewed Wedding Crashers, a card which I correctly predicted last episode.
That's right, you did correctly.
But there's still time. There's still time for that card to come on. So
we haven't even talked about. I love the Count Dracula art on Sorin.
Yeah,
like
me too.
The alt one. I think it looks so good and spooky.
Yeah. So some of the new alt art styles that have come out with Crimson Vow. One is the Fang Border treatment, which is similar to the Equinox treatment we had in Midnight Hunt. This is, now there's going to be cards that straight up are reimagined as characters from Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, I love it. There's Mina Harker.
As Thalia.
As Thalia. There's Sisters of the Undead as Olivia. They look so cool.
I really
I
love
like
this.
Them a lot.
Yeah, it's
so.
It's gorgeous. Maybe just vampires awesome will be stuff. Sweet and standard, and I'll get to play standard paper, and my Sorin will be the Dracula Sorin.
Wow. Dream big.
That's what I'm thinking
Dream
of.
Dream big, man.
By the way, the Eternal Night lands are back.
Yeah, they look gorgeous.
Gorge. Absolutely gorge.
Really good.
Love all the swamps.
Yeah.
So that's super, super exciting, too.
All right. Well, this means that next week is our rules episode, Maria. FYI. So
hold on, let me get out my little calendar here. Whoop. Oh, okay.
Because it comes out on the 11th.
You're right. How is this possible?
Time.
Wow. Judge Rob, I got to give you a call because we got to have our Judge Rob episode.
We really do.
Unbelievable.
I know it.
So are we fully previewed by like this Friday?
I guess.
Because we got to do the loading, ready, run pre-release.
Woo!
What is time?
A train that keeps on running forward.
One direction only.
One direction only. Maria, are you ready for a quick story recap?
Story recap, Crimson Vow. What's going on? Olivia's Crimson getting married. Bow. What the heck?
Yes. Okay, so we start out just with this guy and his mom and Stencia, and he's like, this is really rough because Olivia's been making everyone in Stencia pay a blood tithe, which is where every night they have to put some of their blood in a bowl and put it outside, and bats come and pick it up.
I love that.
And take it to the vamps.
Oh, so that's my little blood bat pet on Arena.
Yes. So it's a little bat that's coming and getting the blood and taking it away.
That's so cute. I wouldn't even be mad.
It's really cute, right? It is kind of cute.
Take it.
Bats are cute. I don't like how much bats are villains in Innistrad. I think that it's really mischaracterizing bats.
Hey, bat, you can have my blood.
Bats are great. Bats eat bugs. Anyways,
and they're cute.
They're really cute. Okay, so, and he's just like, what are we supposed to do? If we don't do this, then they'll kill us. But if we do this, then it's slowly killing us. And we can't go anywhere else on Innistrad because other stuff will kill us.
Oof, real bad for humans. So,
anyways, just having
a
real bad time over there. Okay, then we move and we see, like, Adeline, Chandra, Arlen, Kaya, Teferi, all those buddies, right? They're in, like, a clearing. They're helping some of the people over in Kesig kind of, like, get all bandaged up and taking care
so
of them.
So they were all called there for this Moonsilver Key situation?
Yeah, that's, that was Arlen went and got them all. Now they're all here. Adeline, there's definitely, they're definitely, like, kind of, like, pitching something between Adeline and Chandra. Not sure. What's going to happen there because Adeline is confined to one plane. Chandra's a planeswalker.
Classic how do you make it work? Long distance.
Talk about a long distance relationship.
Long plane relationship.
Anyways, and they're like, what are we going to do? And someone's like, if the vampires keep doing this, they're going to literally run out of food because it's nighttime all the time now.
Yeah.
So like everyone's just going to die and then no one on Innistrad will be alive. Not even the vampires who need humans to be alive.
Will the vampires sleep? Ever? Now that's always night or just
no,
that's, always
that,
awake?
They're like, this is the problem is that now the vampires can always feed.
Oh, I see.
They're always
right.
vamping
they
out.
They have their weird
yes.
rules.
Okay, so they're like, oh, I guess we can go talk to Soren because Soren knows that this is a problem. Even though, just in the Midnight Hunt story, Soren was a huge jerk to all of them.
Who
so
was just man spreading on a Soren throne brooding.
Yes, that's all that he was doing.
Question.
Yes.
We've talked about this on the show before.
Okay.
How did Soren get out of his rock that Nahiri put him in?
Oh, there was a point during the last one where they like walk through and they see that he apparently just like literally like clawed himself out. He just like clawed himself out of rock over a long period of time.
Wow. How long? Does anybody know?
Nobody knows. Years.
Like, because that's going to take a long time to claw your...
It took a long time.
Did he chew his way out with his teeth?
He might have chewed his way out with his teeth, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
But someone goes by the place where he was trapped and they're like, that looks horrific. Anyways.
Guess that's why one of the reasons he's mirthless.
Yeah. Amongst many others.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Even someone at some point is like, gosh, Soren is in such a bad mood right now. And they're like, never mind. Soren's always in a bad mood. Okay, so then we cut to Soren, who is, he's like in his big house at Markov Manor, and he's like, ugh. He's just like, what am I supposed to do?
Oh, he's
like,
emo.
There's this bad balance, and everyone on Innistrad is going to die if nothing happens. And I told my grandpa, who made me a vamp, back when he made me a vamp, that this would happen. If there would someday be a balance where there were too many vampires and not enough people.
Edgar Markov is his grandpa, right?
Yes.
And Edgar Markov made every vampire in Innistrad.
Not every. He made the first vampire, which was Soren. And then I think he made a bunch of other vampires. But eventually those vampires went and made other vampires.
I see. So he's the starter of vamps on Innistrad. Yes. Question. Why isn't Soren his son?
Because there's like a, right, there's the gap in the middle. We never hear about Soren's dad.
How do we work?
We never know about Soren's dad.
How do we work this through?
We just know about his grandpa.
Is the person who made you a vampire your vampire dad or your vampire grandpa?
Soren has a really complicated family life.
We just need to work this stuff out, yeah, you know, it's all I'm
his
saying.
Grandpa is his vamp dad and it just makes everyone feel awkward.
I'm my own grandpa.
Okay. So, vampire. So Soren is like, oh, there's too many vampires. And I told him that this would happen. And he was like, don't worry, balance will happen. And Soren was like, oh, and that's why eventually I made Avacyn to protect the humans. But then Avacyn was unraveled. And did he know all of that was going to happen? So he goes down into like the family, you know, library way beneath Markov Manor. Ooh. He's walking through and there's books and there's photos. And then they get to you learn that all of the Markovs that are vamps are sleep down there because they can just there since they're very old vamps. A lot of the time they do just sleep because they're bored. They're bored that they sleep.
Thousands of years old. Yeah. What are you going to do? It's all been done.
And so he goes to go find his grandpa in his big fancy room where most of the time he sleeps in his fancy coffin, but sometimes he reads fancy books.
Okay.
And he opens the doors and there's nothing in there. And he's like, what?
Where is he?
And then a bat arrives with an invitation. And I have to tell you something horrible. Soren kills the bat and it was the most distressed that I've been during any of this.
Why did he kill the bat?
Because he was mad. The bat was just doing its job. Soren. It was a literal, he killed the messenger. I'm so mad about it. I was really distraught the whole time that they were talking about it.
Soren is having a teenage angst moment.
He really is. And he even momentarily realizes it about himself.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, I'm very upset. And he looks at it and he's like, what? And then he goes out and it turns out that everyone who was like, let's go get Soren is there inside of his house. And they're like, this is bad. And he's like, what? And they're like, what are you holding? And he's like, here, you can look at it. And it's an invitation. And he gives him the invitation. He's like, Olivia Valderan has stolen my grandfather and they're gonna get married.
Wait, she stole him?
I guess. He made some big assumptions. He made some big leaps, but he was like, she stole him. They're going to get married. They'll make the biggest vampire family on all of Innistrad.
So this is a power play from Olivia's perspective. She's
to try and be the biggest vampire family.
I want to be number one vamp lady. I'm going to marry this old soggy raisin and we're going to just take over Innistrad. Yeah, but exactly. I mean, like Soren is right. There was going to be a problem. If vampires are that powerful.
Yes.
Plus werewolves.
Yes. Plus the moon is just down. The moon is just up all the time now.
Yeah.
It's not daytime ever. So Innistrad. Okay. This brings me to like an overall thought on Innistrad. I get that we keep going back to it because people love it.
Yes.
Because it's a really cool place, but it is also a place that's only built on eternal human suffering. I'm just gonna point that out, right? We're never gonna right? Like at some point, everyone on Innistrad is just gonna give up and die.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, there's gotta be some differences made here before.
Yes, there's going to be a chance. Right, and like a whole bunch of the story keeps trying to be like, the humans of Innistrad are like, well, like, right, we'll find a way to survive. Eventually, the answer is that if it happens for millennia, eventually you don't.
You just don't anymore?
You don't. The dinosaurs got wiped out by a meteor, and the people of Innistrad are getting wiped out by vampires and werewolves.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable unless someday Innistrad is happy, and then we don't really go there. So I'm just saying, maybe after this story, the end should just be, and then the people got to chill out for a little while.
I would like to have Innistrad, the people chill out, be a set right? we go to.
Innistrad, colon, the people chill out. Okay, so that's just my thoughts. Anyways, and they're all like, okay, let's go crash this wedding. So,
ooh, all right, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
We're going to get Owen Wilson and who was it?
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn.
So there are going to be wedding crashers in the story.
Yeah. Wow, I'm excited to see what happens in the story because, like, it's pretty interesting, actually.
It's pretty wild.
Trying to amass power and sort of be like, well, you can have the power, I guess, but how long are you even going to live after that?
Exactly.
All the humans are going to be dead. And, of course, fancy vampires having a fancy wedding and everyone's dressed fabulously. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited for that. Crimson Vow, I'm going to get to play it next week. Can't believe that.
Me neither. We're going to talk about Ultra Pro, one of our great sponsors. And I have to tell you that you just told me the most exciting news ever, which is that those awesome movie poster secret layers they have them full size poster look.
Yay!
And I'm just so happy.
Yeah, Ultra Pro makes these really cool banners that you can get for most sets. And one of their banners that they're releasing is going to be those cool horror movie.
I'm so happy.
Pulp style arts.
Thank you so much. Like they have on their Twitter, you can go and see the one for Dismember, which is up. And it just looks so good.
It's beautiful.
It's so cool.
I love it.
Thank you so much, Ultra Pro.
Yeah.
One, for being a sponsor, and two, for just making stuff like that, right? Where it's like, you can get the secret lair and it's awesome because you can play with those cards.
Yep.
But what if you love it so much you just want it big?
Yes, exactly.
What if you want big?
You want big, Ultra Pro give you big.
There you go.
Another great slogan. Yes.
Ultra Pro, you're welcome. You want big, we give you big.
Well, everybody, that's this episode of Good Luck High Five.
Yay.
Thank you so much for listening / watching.
Crimson Vow is like one more episode and that then we're playing it.
What? I mean, it's just unbelievable, but that's what happens this time of the year. We get the little end of year crush here with these two new sets and then we get a break for a little bit. I'm so excited for Crimson Vow to come out. And then once we're in kind of the magic doldrums, which is like January, February time, we get to play the double feature.
Which will be the two of them smashed.
So we get Midnight Hunt and Crimson Vow that you can play at your LGS in paper and with cool new art style, which is was previewed on Magic Stream last week too, which looks really, really sweet. But Judge Rob episode next week. Gotta call him.
We hope
make that happen for you. We had our preview card this week, and that means next week we should do our top 10 worst rares video.
That's right. So you can check it out if you are heading into the arena events or into your pre-release weekend wondering what on earth should I really stink and avoid.
We'll tell you. You can find that on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/goodluckhighfive. Become a subscriber. Watch out for our videos there. We post 2 a week, sometimes 3 a week, just for you, totally free of charge. Thank you so much for everybody though who supports it and lets it happen over on patreon.com/glhfmagic. We'd love to announce some more names on our next episode. Get some new patrons in here along with Diaper 911.
I was going to say, until next week, it's just us and Diaper 911.